Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Launch Space. Today, we're talking about the Azure CLI. We've got three great folks from the product team who are going to be here. I'm actually, a little bit of history. I was actually one of the product managers or program managers for the CLI back in the day when it first came out. It's a very cool tool. If you haven't used it before, it's very useful for working with anything to do with the Azure cloud. It's open source. It runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. And Arun Chandrasekhar is going to be our first speaker. He's going to tell us a little bit more about it. He's going to give us a great intro. And later on, we're going to have Lomas Chen, who's going to tell us a little bit about some UI improvements. And Dolores Bradish is going to come on and talk to us about the latest docs. So welcome, Arun. Great to see you again. How are you today?
Hi, Brian. All right. So let me start a little bit, talking a little bit about the overview of what the Azure CLI is all about. But before that, like I'm a program manager in the team which we call Azure Management Experience. The role of our team is really to provide command line tools support across like all the different tools that most developers and customers who are using the cloud are familiar with. One of the goals is really to make Azure the platform of choice for everyone, and that's where sort of Azure CLI was born with this sort of cross-platform emphasis. Secondly, we also want to meet our customers where they are. And as one of the examples of one of the tools that we support here is Terraform, which is used across hybrid and multi-cloud and third-party cloud providers. And finally, we want to be able to provide like a really frictionless and productive CLI experience for managing Azure, be it with PowerShell or Azure CLI or Terraform. So that's just a little bit of an introduction to what our team does. One of the first things that we have sort of looking back to the last year, one of the things that we really wanted to focus on to provide customers with business value really, really quickly was to be able to improve our agility. And we were already in a pretty good cycle where we're sort of in a 3-week cycle of releasing an Azure CLI core installer. However, we wanted to be able to provide customers even more agility when they want to be able to use different versions of the CLI, to be able to upgrade them, as well as to be able to build out features rapidly and deploy them in a continuous delivery cadence. So we really have three offerings that we built out over the last year, which has been really well received by the community. So let me just quickly share with you what these look like. The first one is what we call AZ Upgrade. You can get to it with this link, ak.ms/AZ Upgrade. Let me just go to the page here that I have. So basically, think of AZ Upgrade as the ability for you to update the local install that you have of Azure CLI, either on Windows or Mac or Linux environments. And earlier, it used to be kind of tricky to be able to install this. You had to come to this page, you had to figure out what install should I run, what is my platform, and then sort of run an installer. What we've done is we just made it really, really simple, where all you need to do now is sort of type in the command AZ Upgrade. And in this case, I already have done the upgrade before, so I already have the latest version of Azure CLI. But you could basically go and enable sort of upgrading to the latest version of the CLI anytime you want, right? So you have this sort of config setting where you say enable auto upgrade, and this is especially important as most of our sort of workloads, when they go into automation or into continuous delivery or DevOps pipelines, customers want to be able to leverage the latest and greatest of the CLI, while some other customers want to be able to lock to a particular version. So we provide the sort of config toggle for you to be able to do that. The second feature is kind of related. So let's say if I were interested in going to maybe like a new command that I've just heard about, I looked at Ignite, I saw that, oh, there's this really nice thing called Resource Mover. So let me try using the Resource Mover. And typically, What we've done is, as I said, in order to improve agility, we have started building out this notion of Azure CLI extensions as a first-class citizen of Azure CLI. So initially, the reason we had these extensions were as more things that we could experiment on, preview for a bit, and then bring back into the core installer. However, now we found that for several of our sort of top services and contributors, this extension provides the flexibility of continuous delivery, where I can now ship this extension on a daily cadence or any which time I want without being bound on our sort of 3-week cycle. So what we've done is we want to be able to get customers to discover these extensions really, really quickly. And you can learn more about it in this particular link, AZEXT install. And basically what that gives you is, again, if I have a command that I don't, a brand new command that actually is built using an extension, it's not part of the core CLI, what you get is sort of a prompt here that says that this requires this extension resource mover. Do you want to install it now? And you can basically install it. What this is doing is it's basically pulling down like a Python view from the cloud based on some metadata that we have. And now you can now go and basically install it right there and start using any of the commands that you want. So in this case, you can sort of start playing around with what the resource more has, and it just becomes a really, really easy way to acquire new commands without needing to remember, oh, I have to go and install this extension using an AZ extension add. So that makes life a bit easy. And that also gives us, if you look at this, for this particular one, you have this thing called this command group is experimental and under development. This is a new tag that we've introduced, which just sort of lets us really, really rapidly iterate on new coverage services and new resources as they come up in Azure. We can start supporting them and start pushing them out and start getting feedback from our customers. And we also have sort of a survey link here, which takes you to like, you know, what do you think about this? And you can actually start providing feedback about sort of new commands, and you can sort of start putting issues in GitHub, which I'll show shortly. So this gives you this really nice flexibility of seeing the latest and greatest parts of Azure and be able to manage them using the CLI. And not have the burden of understanding where to, how to acquire these, how to install these, and so on. And one of the things that you can see is, again, just again being cognizant of our automation and DevOps kind of workloads, you have all kinds of toggles to help with this. So you can say, okay, I want to install it every time you run it interactively. I want to be prompted before you install this. Or you can say that you can install it automatically. And this is a very powerful feature for early adopters who want to just say, okay, I want to be able to use any command that shows up, don't even ask me. And it'll just go and sort of keep pulling down the latest packages as and when needed. Or you can basically say that I don't want it at all. People who want to lock to a particular version and know exactly what is running in their infrastructure for, say, production workloads or automation workloads. So let me go back to the third thing that we developed here to improve agility. Was we found that there are these fundamental changes that happen at times in Azure. For example, we have started changing the identity platform to be much more sort of generalized as compared to what we had before. Like we had things that were really Active Directory centric, and now we're moving to sort of a Microsoft wide way of doing authentication. And we're doing a bunch of changes under the covers in the platform for that. And we wanted to be able to give customers a ability to actually adopt and try out these in semi-serious proof of concepts and prototypes. And just doing it, because it's fundamentally changing large aspects of things that we do, like login and identity, doing it by changing it on extensions or in core would just not cut it, because it just have like breaking changes and have all kinds of unforeseen circumstances. So what we decided was, let's have an explicit beta release for the Azure CLI with its own installer. So if you go to the AZ CLI beta, you can basically now start introducing, we have a more like intentional way of introducing breaking changes. And you can see that there is a bunch of these that you can start seeing, and as well as do fundamental changes, which is sort of using this sort of new identity platform that Azure has, new SDKs, and so on. So now you can start installing this explicitly, install the beta installer, which is independent of your sort of mainstream installer. And this will give you the flexibility to try out what the new functionality is, again, give us feedback. And this will also help you if you want to do isolation. You can also do things like install it in a sort of a virtual environment in Python. So this gives you more flexibility to sort of start getting feedback. So agility really for me is all about getting customer feedback quickly and being able to sort of satisfy and add business value very, very, very rapidly. So that's these are sort of some of the offerings that we have that focuses on that. Secondly, what we wanted to do, obviously Azure CLI is like the one of the fundamental ways that you can go and manage Azure resources from the command line. So we used to pretty much start focus on sort of the top end of our services, where we had like all the like most popular services that we had. We used to support focus on supporting those services, while we had a long tail of these new services. Azure has like over 200 services, right? So how do we basically start keeping up with every single service? So basically last semester, we've really been focusing on improving the coverage across the long tail of every single service that the Azure platform has, and make sure that Azure CLI has native support for doing this. You could always use the Azure CLI with things like ARM templates or with AZ REST, which is a mechanism for you to make calls to the directly the REST APIs, or using AZ Resource Create as generic commands that you can use to access anything in the Azure platform. But we want to be able to provide native commands and native support for every single service that exists in Azure. And we're getting pretty close. So we've got to about 92% of all the services in Azure, which now gives you the thing that okay, confidence that you can pretty much go into CLI and you'll and manage resources on any service from the CLI. And this is actually a little bit outdated in December. We're closer now to like 96%. And obviously, there's going to be a little bit of a lag of some of the detailed esoteric resources, which are like things that we haven't yet caught on to, but we are very close to getting to near complete coverage of a broad set of services. And the next thing was obviously like getting coverage across the breadth of the services is one thing, but we also wanted to sort of align to all the big releases that we have of new features and make sure that all those features, as and when they launch, we're able to produce the underlying Azure CLI support for it. One of the things that you can see here, and this is just a subset of all the different things that we have that were announced in Ignite, what we've done is like when a service goes into public preview or when it goes into GA, we want to make sure that our Azure CLI users are able to start using it from the get-go without too much of a lag. And you can see that with things like the flexible orchestration mode, which released in the latest core installer, right with the announcement that you heard in Ignite. You also have Express Route IPv6 support, as well as like brand new services that I talked about, like Resource Mode, which is really interesting, where it lets you move resources between regions, which is sort of unique to Azure from a data center perspective. As well as the managed instance for Cassandra. These are just a few of the highlights that sort of show how we're trying to keep up to the cadence of services rather than just like lag them drastically, right? And sort of the last bucket that I want to talk about is really everything that we do is about community, and all the different aspects of what we do is out in the open, primarily because we really, really want to be able to have a continuous feedback loop with the community. So if you go to ak.ms, the AZ CLI Git, which is sort of our Git repository, or GitHub, you'd effectively find that loud and clear. So if you look at the screen here, you see that there's a feedback opportunity right here that we generally pin. And this gets you into a survey that sort of asks you about how satisfied are you. And we take this really seriously. And at times, we also will try and get feedback directly from you into the product team as much as we can. And we also try to sort of, when we try to do new things, like build out like new features or new enhancements, we try to pin some of them where people can actually go and vote on those. So it's really important for people, any of you who are Azure CLI users, to use this as your mechanism to provide feedback. So you can see the whole bunch of issues here. And we are really getting good at sort of responding to issues with tight SLAs, as well as trying to fix and or resolve issues with SLAs, which I'll talk about in a second. So how do you go about sort of getting your issue into this? So one of the things you would do initially is sort of look at the different labels that you have here and see if you have something related to the service that you care about. Search for it here. Find, like, you know, if you find the issue, then you can just go ahead and vote for it and sort of react to it. And that gives us some understanding of how popular and important an issue is. Secondly, what you would do is you could also run a command that we have called AZ feedback, which sort of goes back into your history. I don't use the Windows command prompt much. I use the Windows, the bash shell. So in this case, you would see that there are commands going back to like several days ago. So what you would see is, okay, now I want to go and understand something failed previously for me, and I want to be able to sort of provide feedback on that. So I'm just taking all the commands that I ran, or the history of everything that I ran in this prompt, like from a long time back, and I can just pick the one that I feel was like problematic for me and felt like a bug or an issue. And what this does is it basically goes ahead and auto-generates a very nicely formatted bug, which will actually give you sort of things where you can go and edit it, and you can add new things to it, you can add a title to it. And right in here, you now get this sort of options for what, like environment that what is the environment in which this was built. And there's also a --- verb boss option where you can also provide like logs. Of course, you'd have to scrub them, and you'd have to sort of make sure you remove any sensitive data before you push it into this. But this just gives you a really quick way to start adding value to the Azure CLI community with very little effort, where you're just basically saying, oh, I found this issue, here you go. And we really expect these issues, and we take them really seriously, especially when they come out from users who have actually logged them, right? So we prioritize those issues quite highly. So that is a little bit about our community. And so what are we going to do looking forward? So just a quick idea of where we are heading. So obviously, coverage is very important to us. Not only create broad coverage to support everything, as I said, we also want to support all new services close to GA. So we start working with them early on so that by the time they GA, the Azure CLI support is well produced. And we also have sort of code generation for simpler commands so that it's almost automated. So if you have a simple use case and we just want to produce it, we try to automate the entire pipeline to produce those commands for the service. The second thing is really about better coverage. So it's things like if some of our top services still need a lot of tweaking to make sure we have the most convenient command for the right set of problems. So we want to go really deep into operations that are not yet covered in any of the top services and continue with what we have been doing, which has been our business for a few years now. And then we also want to make sure that any new features that show up in existing services, as I showed for the Ignite highlights, we sort of as early as possible, not just in GA, we also start shipping them in preview, do experimental extensions early on. And for that, we're also improving our sort of code generation to do incremental coverage on existing services. The third thing, as I said, was community, and the open source community is extremely important for the Azure CLI. So we are actually building out hard trying to hit all the time, which is like 72-hour responses for any issues that are logged. And 90-day fixes or workarounds for any of the issues so that we can sort of start really being responsive. And this is something that we are really proud of, that we have sort of been able to attain over the past year. Finally, it's about building community. We build this community and grow it. So we're providing not only tools like AZ Feedback, we have in-tool surveys, we have other surveys that we'll show at the end of this, which will help us sort of have more deeper engagement with active users of the Azure CLI. And the last thing sort of is where I'll sort of segue into the next section. The first part of it is really about interactive user experience improvements. And that's something that Lomas will show shortly. And we're also looking at building out better guidance and examples, which Delora will show shortly. And for the third one, we need some more feedback. What we're trying to figure out is what are the most automation-friendly experiences for our sort of customers, our enterprises or DevOps pipelines. What are the sort of experiences that we want to build for those customers CLI? And we are actually going and talking directly with customers. And those of you who are interested, at the end of this, as there'll be a survey, please feel free to definitely leave your contact information, and we can definitely have a chat on that.
All right. So, thanks, Arun. It's a great overview, great introduction. I particularly personally like the ability to be able to control automatic updates. That's always a pain for me. Sometimes I'll be doing a demo and I realize I don't have the latest version, and then I have to go in and install it, hopefully not while I'm doing the presentation. So automatic updates would help for that. Also, I can see why enterprises would want to be able to control the extensions that get installed as well. They might have their own extensions internally or extensions that are provided by third parties, and they want to make sure that they manage those. So that's nice. I also like the bug reporting. That's nice. I mean, it's not that it ever gets used, but you know, it's
yeah, we're perfect. We have no issues. Yeah.
No, it's a great feature. And yeah, I mentioned before that this is open source. It is on GitHub, and it is a great platform to use. It's so easy. It's also built into the Azure shell. So if you use the Azure shell, you actually don't need to install it, but it will run on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and you can install it locally as well. I wanted to mention just a little bit of housekeeping here. The show is live. It's a broadcast, and we are taking questions. So if you go to aka.ms/learnTV, you can see the broadcast. You can access questions. And actually, I've just posted a couple of polls. But I thought we'd talk about one of them real quick before we bring Lomas on, and that will be, you know, how do you plan to get feedback from users? What's the best way for users to actually reach you and give feedback? Is it issues? What would be the best way?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I think one of the ways that you can get feedback is really through, as I showed, the AZ feedback, where you can actually put issues into the into GitHub, and that's something that we triage and respond. Secondly, the other option that I probably should have talked about earlier is the, like, which we'll sort of talk about the end of it, is you can join our community. I mean, you can effectively, if you go to the aka.ms/AZCLI survey and enter your contact details, we will inevitably at some point ensure that you participate actively in our community, either through some of our semester events such as these, or quarterly events, as well as through for user studies, or for anything where you want to contribute, anything where you want your voice heard. We're happy to listen and happy to get that feedback. And of course, you can always put your comments on our updates, like in our blogs, and get that as well, get there as well.
Cool, great. All right, so thank you, Arun. That was a great coverage. Let's talk to Lomas. Lomas, how are you today?
I am doing very well. I'm very excited to be here. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. So I understand you have some user interface, some UX improvements that you're going to cover. I showed some of these last week in another session. It was really, really well received. I love the multicolor and a few other things, but I'll let you talk more about them. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for the intro, Brian. Yeah, so hi everyone. Similar to Arun, I'm also a PM working on and as well as supporting the Azure CLI with a primary focus on user experience and CSAT improvement. And I am very excited to be here to share with you some of our recent progress. So there are a number of features that I'll be walking us through today. We share a sneak peek of some of them in our MVP sessions, and we would love, leverage this perfect opportunity to share with the broader community. So the first one that I'm going to share with us is the new AIR output design. Now, if you have used the latest CLI version or have it installed, then you most likely have seen it. If not, that's totally fine. That's why I'm here to share with you how it looks like. So let's say if I type in AZVM create, we know that this is an incomplete command. So from this, the CLI will throw us an AIR, right? So how we redesign the error is that first we simplify the error message. So hopefully it's more clear, it's more interpretable and legible for you to interpret and act on. The other thing that we worked on is that we also incorporated a set of follow-up recommendations as part of the output to help you recover from the error, right? We showed what the parameter argument is and as well as a description of what the recommendations are. So lastly, we also provide an additional link for you to learn more. So in the PowerShell, this is a hyperlink. So if we control click it, it will bring us to the documentation page. Now, our team is aware that not all of us is a fan of the color. So this is something that we could configure off. Let me see, color equals to true. So reset that, we will see that if we run into the same error again, then the color will be turned off. Right now, for the purpose of the follow-up demo, I will turn it back on so we can see the various color. We are also working on another config setting where we enable users to turn off the recommendations as well as the link, so that if you ever run a pipeline or automation pipeline or script where you have to pipe the output elsewhere, it will not be overwhelmed with all of these recommendations. it will only, you know, will only have the ears. So now you might be curious, you know, why did we invest in this area? Well, long story short, you know, a lot of it boils down to the fact that we've been receiving an overwhelming amount of feedback from a lot of you on how actionable some of the ear messages are. So our team recognized that and joined forces with our partners from the design side, as well as our data science team, improving the holistic experience for you. So we hope you like it. If you get a chance to try it out, please do and let us know what you think of the design. So that was about the new ear output. The other thing that we worked on is AZNext. So AZNext is a command that provides suggestions or recommendations on what we could be doing next. So we developed this feature in response to some of our users' requests around better in-tool help as well as guidance. So I'm going to walk us through another quick demo on how it works. But first, I will have to download the extension because we release it as part of the extension. So you can see it here. It shall take 20 seconds, hopefully.
Hey, Lovis, while that's running, do you mind making that full screen so it's a little bit bigger for the audience?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Cool. Thank you.
That's a good reminder. Thank you. Great, so now I have it installed. So let's say I am interested in creating a group. And I would love to learn more about what I could be running next after I create a group. So what happens is that after this, I will type in AZNext, and then AZNext will provide a list of recommendations based on some of the popular or common usage by other folks. So let's try that. Now, the actual algorithm in terms of how we rank and service the recommendations, which you see in hopefully in 5 seconds, is a bit complicated or convoluted. So essentially, we not only recommend you the commands based on what other users have done similarly in the past, but we also sprinkle in some manual recommendations here and there, as well as leveraging the context from your personal working history and sessions. If you're interested, we're more than happy to discuss more about it in the Q&A session, but let's go back to the demo for the time being. So let's say after AZNext, I'm given a list of commands. Now, if you find none of these helpful, you could type in 0. But for demo purposes, let's say I am interested in setting the resource group as the Google config. So I will type in 5. And now by default, AZNext walks us through an interactive experience, right? So it will walk us through the setup parameters and arguments one by one. So in this case, it's prompting me that, well, what is the default that we want to set? Now, in this case, is group equals to the resource group that I wanted to create. And once that's done, you know, the command will be completed. There are a couple other ways. Let me walk through another example. But before then, let me try to do config set execute in prompt equals to false. And so what this does is it turns off the interactive mode, because we do realize after speaking with some of the users that they prefer just to see a list of outcome, but actually not run through or walk through the individual parameters one by one. So let's see what this is going to get us. So if let's say we are going Let's say we are interested in creating a web app, and now we have to start with creating an app service plan first. And then let's see what sample plan, let's see what AZNext is going to give us. It's going to take about 10 seconds or so. So while this is running, I'm going to open up a new tab just to help us understand if in any case we are interested to learn more about AZNext, because it's still in development, we can always type in aznext.help to learn more about the various way to config how the feature works, right? So we can configure off the interactivity. There is also a way for us to configure whether the options present you the parameters and an argument. So here is where we could learn more about it. So let me go back to this tab. Okay, so I see that it worked. So now, remember I created the app service plan here. So let's see, well, what is the next logical step to do here? So let's see what AZ Next is proposing. Great, cool. So it's saying that, well, you know, you want to create a web app. Now, why is this recommending a VM-less IP address when it's irrelevant? That is because previously I was actually working on a VM-related resource and creating and as well as managing it. And that's where it pulled the context from my working sessions and incorporate in the, you know, potential follow-up recommendations. So now let's say after I created the app service plan and I find that, well, actually, you know, next logical step, it is correct that I would like to create a web app. Then after selecting one, that will be the end of the experience, because remember, we configure the interactivity off. So yeah, that is a pretty simple demo, but we do have 85, almost working towards 100% of the command recommendations coverage for you. So if this is pretty, the recommendation part is pretty early in development. So we would love for you to try it out and share with us your feedback on how you like the design, how you like the accuracy, what are some of the specific scenarios that you would like to see. Our team would love to hear from you in that regards. So, if there's no questions or comments right on this feature, then I shall move on to the next part, which is about a post output hint that we worked on. So this time around, I'm going to be in my VM. So normally after AZ login, the tool will output as a very long blob of JSON of all our enrolled subscriptions, right? So now this is particularly frustrating if you ever use it for someone who has 20 to 30 plus subscriptions trying to figure out what their default sub is, right? Even if we do AZ account list, the list could get pretty, you know, overwhelming. And so what we do after speaking with some of us is that as part of the AZ login output, now I'm going to sign in my other screen, is that we will append a one-liner indicating what your default subscription is. So we highlight that, hey, in this case, my default subscription is Azure Management PM, R&D, so that you don't have to go through the whole list to try to figure out your subscription. In addition to that, we are also leveraging the opportunity to prompt and recommend you some other commands that you might find helpful in using. For instance, upgrading to the latest version or switching a subscription, or perhaps even switching the output from JSON to table or whichever format that you desire. So here is the improvement or the refinement that we are working on AZ login. We sent out a brief survey to see how people responded, and people really like the fact that we're calling out these subscriptions. If you're watching the show, we would also love your feedback on if there's additional design elements that we could fine tune, additional info that we could share here to make sure that your login experience could be as smooth as possible. So this is a small tweak, but our customers liked it pretty much. Now the next one, I'm on a streak. So the next one that I'm going to call your attention to is the design around command progress bar. So historically, you know, CLI is yet to support command progress bar, like how PowerShell supports it across many, if not all, of the commands. Although again, from some of our past user studies as well as user testing, we notice that people will often get confused and frustrated that the tool is irresponsive when they type in the command, where in fact the command is actually being executed, right? We observe many times when people will try to go through the portal to see whether the command has gone through and et cetera. And so we thought, you know, this is not a very human friendly experience, and we created the command bar. And so let me create this for you to see in action. So this is one of the command bar command progress bar design that we have. This is a determinant version, which means that we provide an approximate time estimation on how long the command is going to take. So we can see that now, you know, the command is a lot more dynamic. We actually have a few other design in mind, and I'm going to share that with us here. Now, if you could see, so the storage account when we share is actually up here. We also have another determinant design, which we show as the approximate seconds that it's going to take. We have it implemented as the network load balancer create. There are a few other options that we have in terms of the indeterminate progress bar. Now, how this differs from the determinant version is that in this case, we're only going to show you that the command is running, is dynamic, but we are not providing you an actual time estimate. So these are some of the designs that we're exploring. And again, we would love your feedback on if you have a particular preference on one over the other, whether you find significance in us providing you a time estimate or not. Please do feel free to share with us your feedback. So there is that one around the command progress bar. And then the next one I'm going to share is the color scheme. So you may have noticed from our error output that, hey, there is some color being applied. Right, that's right. We actually put together a new color scheme. And so this is one of the steps that we are taking to bring us, you know, one step closer in modernizing the current design. So just to give us an idea on how it will work. So in my VM, I'm showing the demo style, and we can see the color application across various different places, right? But essentially how we are thinking of applying it as part of the proposal is that, well, we'll keep the primary text color as white, some of the secondary informational color as bright black, which is called gray. The color coding it is. We highlight important text color in terms of magenta, and then some other additional application of the standard color, such as red indicating its error message, green and indicating its success message, and et cetera, et cetera. So we actually put together these prototypes with some of our other service partner teams. So as part of their interactive experience, we hope to deliver some of these output so we can enhance the modernness again, and as well as the interactive activity of the tool. So we actually have another theme. So this is in the dark theme. At the same time, we also support light theme. So let's see how the light theme will work. It may not come through as prominent in the dark background, but you can see that some of the color changes. So this is actually, it's going to make the color more pop if I change the theme, the background color to like tangle light or something whiter. But you can see that there are various, the colors actually changes. Cool. And again, if this is not our, you know, our favorite, don't worry, we can config and set, you know, core.noColor equals to true, and then all of the colors will be disabled. And then another thing that I would like to call attention to is that this will not interfere with your existing customized settings. So we are only mapping, what we do is we simply map the color names as defined by our color guidelines to the color names of your personalized theme or scheme, you know, for which the corresponding color values get reflected. So we're not actually passing in any, you know, specific color values. So don't worry, this is not gonna, you know, interfere with your theme. So there is that part. Yeah, so that is it pretty much in terms of what we delivered in the past few months, as well as what we will be delivering in the upcoming few months. If I have time, I can also, do I have time, Brian? May I share the?
Yes, you're doing great for time. Yeah, plenty of time.
Great. That is great. So let me share this. This is actually an easy init. I should probably pop this up. So this is another feature that we are brainstorming about, or let's say we're putting things together. Oh, actually, let me figure this out. Where's my init? See if I can pull that together. Well, I think the prototype I was gonna show got moved to another location. Why don't I search up the updated version and then we can circle back to it when we have time remaining after the Laura.
Sure, sure.
That's okay.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, one piece of feedback from me. So I was running your demo where you show the colored screens, and the last one says, warning, your subscription has been disabled. And that scared the heck out of me. I was like, I know it's a fake message, but it's like, it's funny. It's, the first thing you see when you see that is like, oh my God, why? Why did they disable my subscription? What did I do? And yeah.
That's a good call out.
Warning, the subscription has been disabled. I read that. I was like, oh no, what happened? So
That's a good call out. We were supposed to just, call out the warning message. But yes, I do see the how it could be detrimental. So thank you for sharing that.
That's all right. Hey, real-time feedback. What the heck? That's great. It's really good. I particularly like the multicolors. It's just a lot of interesting things going on. It's interesting that we have a user experience for a CLI. People think about the CLIs, command line, what could it be, and just being able to select web apps or select something else that could be an option for deployment of this particular creation is really great. I love the fact that you're calling out the subscription at the bottom when you actually run through all the subscriptions, because, at Microsoft, we're always subscribed to 40 or 50 subscriptions at once. And it's always hard to find out which one of those is the default. You have to scroll through that cloud of JSON to figure out which one says default subscription is true. And yeah, so it's really, really handy. Little things like that really make a big difference, save a lot of time. So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Brian.
Thanks. So up next, we have Delora Bradish. Delora is going to talk about some new docs and some new features that we have in our docs that'll help you get to know the CLI and help you along with it outside.
Hey, thanks, Brian. I am the docs lead for the Azure CLI. So all of those really cool, fun things that Lomas just showed you, I get to write about. So I really do have a pretty fun job. A couple of things that I'm giving you a sneak peek in the next couple of minutes. And probably one of the things I'm most excited about when it comes to docs changes is our table of contents. So I know a couple of years ago when the Azure CLI started, it worked well to have, and you can see on my screen on the left-hand side, to break out our core references and our extension references. But one of the improvements we're making for you is that we're combining them all together. So what you see here in my second table of contents is actually a GitHub pull request. So this is still a work in progress, thus the sneak peek. But I wanted you to see it because I am super excited about it. Our goal is to help you navigate the Azure CLI better. Personally, I want you to be able to find references easier and services and subjects that you're interested in. And one of the things that I'm hoping will help you is having a table of contents that doesn't really so loudly differentiate between core and extension. We do tell you that in the reference content, that information is not going away, all right? But we just want to make it easier for you to navigate. So as you can see here, we've grouped our references by Azure service. Now, as stated, this is a work in progress, so our sort is a little... we're still getting that ironed out, but the grouping works very well, and I'm excited about it. And I asked Arun if I could share this with you, even though it wasn't perfect. So let me just apply a couple things. So here's Azure Machine Learning. In the current table of contents, you would see Batch AI and ML broken up between two different entries, but here they're sitting here together. And one of the other things, that's cool. This is the first thing I checked when our developer did this. I'm like, hey, are my core and extension all together? So this is a core extension. But let me show you this, because sitting right underneath it is Dun-dun-dun, drum roll. Yes, and an extension to reference. So very exciting. Something else I'd like to bring to your attention, since I have it up on my screen, is that we have a published update for our extension reference content. And you'll see that in the purple box, it says note. So we're telling you that the reference is part of a particular extension name and it requires a particular version. And I have to tell you, I was thrilled to see the engineering team automatically install extensions the first time you would run it, versus you having to install it separately for yourself. So a lot of fun things are happening in engineering to make the Azure CLI better. And certainly the automatic install is one of those things. And it is now reflected in our auto-generated reference content. The other thing I'd like to show you, again, this is a prototype, but it is published. And I'm calling it a prototype because I personally only did this for 4 Azure services. And when you drill into them, you will understand why we want to automate this instead of continuing to do this manually. But this is just a test that we put out there, and that is published, and it is currently on the current table of contents, and you can see it sitting right here. But what we want to answer the question for you, what can the Azure CLI do for, and then fill in your Azure service? Having done Microsoft implementations, I know sometimes we're super focused on just one part of the Azure infrastructure, and it's my responsibility, I just need to do this one thing. But what we want to do is show you how well-rounded the Azure CLI has become. And look at networking. I chose our reference that is the most built out and has the highest use. You can see that we have virtual networks here. We have on-premise connectivity. We have load balancing and IP and security and et cetera. And it still goes down and even into monitoring. So what we're trying to do on our new summary pages is just put it all together so you don't have to go and find, in this case, it would be maybe 30 different Azure CLI references. They're all on one page and you can say, hey, I might be most interested in, private endpoint, but look at the CLI can also do these other things and maybe you can use those in other parts of your job. But we wanted really to make it more visible, all the capabilities that the Azure CLI has, because as Arun stated, honestly, we're getting very, very near a high percentage of working with every Azure service. All right, do content. And I'm told I have about 10 minutes to talk, so I hope I'm not going too fast, but we also have new content. So what I just covered was TOC changes, table of content changes, but we also have conceptual article content changes. And right now I will tell you, we have about 1700 conceptual articles that have 3 or more Azure CLI references, and they are spread across just multiple, Azure services. When you come into the Azure CLI main page, which I have open on my desktop, obviously, all 1,700 articles are not there. But again, that's something we're working on to make all that more visible to you. But the conceptual articles, we're still building out. We're making a lot of progress. If you download the slide deck that was used in today's presentation, I'm going to show you my little slide. I'm number 18. And just in the last 2 months, we have published docs with all these new references. So that is exciting work. I am proud to see this list growing. One of the things I want to drill down into, though, is AZ Group and AZ Account. Now, I know these are Azure CLI references, but I have them open on my desktop because we're also not just focused on IoT or monitoring. A lot of what Lomas just showed you were really great enhancements to the Azure CLI product itself. So as writers, we're also trying to bring those to your attention and bring clarity in the document. So we have recently published an article that's just about resource groups. We also published one that's just about subscriptions. You know, the question I get so much from users, how do I know what subscription I'm on? And Lomas shows you how the AZ login reference has been improved to actually show that to you. But guess what? We also improved this doc, and this is probably published about 3 weeks ago, because we want to make it easy. There are multiple ways to know what subscription you're on, and here's a document that's going to help you find the way that works best for you. The other thing that's super exciting, and this is actually where my personal focus is, I want to provide more samples for you. And even just today, I received some fantastic customer usage patterns that I'm hoping, no proprietary information, of course, just basically references and parameters without any additional information. But what this does is it helps me to know what you're doing, and then it helps me to take that as a starting point and then build up and give you some new sample docs. So here's one that was just published. I think this is probably about 2 weeks old. And it's about creating and managing virtual machine skill sets. So I know maybe not everyone works with virtual machine skill sets, but we want our samples to kind of go beyond the easy things to do. And we're trying to actually make them to show you more difficult things. We want to use as many parameters as we can. And that kind of thing. So this is just one of them that was published as an example that I thought it was definitely worth showing to you. It doesn't have a lot of extra words. It just has a lot of scripts for you to copy and paste and make your own. So that is pretty exciting. And at the bottom of every one are links for our reference content. So last but not least, I think actually, Brian, those are my talking points. And I try to keep myself under 10 minutes. How did I do?
Great. You did great. Wonderful. Actually, we have a little bit of extra time. So we did get a question from the audience. It's a little bit cryptic, but they were asking about AZAD. So they're asking about Azure Active Directory. And one thing I was going to mention, this is great. You've got everything well grouped and everything. But I tend to be a bit of a lazy programmer, so what I will do is I will go into my favorite search engine, and I'll just type, for example, for this, to answer the person's question, they asked about Active Directory. I typed just now, as you were speaking, AZ CLI, AZ space CLI space Active Directory, and it brought me right up to the AZAD part of the CLI. And, you've got several commands and you can just look things up that way. So that's really the quickest way to find things, in my opinion. And then from there, you're in the actual documentation and you can click around and see all the different options, including on the left, all the groupings that you just showed. So that's really great.
Brian, can I ask you a question? Do you ever use a search feature that's part of the table of contents, which you see currently on my screen?
I do. Okay. But there are times when I'm not in the docs at all.
Absolutely. And
an easy way to start is just go to search engine, type AZ, yep, CLI, and whatever command you think you might be using. And chances are you will land on the right spot in the documentation. And that's a great starting point. And then you can use the search the way you showed here and find more information related to the Active Directory as well.
Awesome.
We did actually have another question from someone in the audience, and I'll take this one. It was from the developer YouTube, developer playlists was the name. So they were just saying, what is the CLI all about? And I'll just give them like a 30-second thing, if you don't mind, which is just basically the Azure CLI, the command line interface, is a way to interact with Azure Cloud. It's written in Python, it's on GitHub, it's open source, and you can use Windows, Mac, or Linux to run it. And it's also built into a whole bunch of different things that we have on the cloud. So there, a little summary for that. I also want to mention, if anyone has any questions, we've brought everyone back. We've got some experts here. And if you have any questions, please ask them. I'm going to be monitoring the questions over here on our chat. It is a live broadcast, so please do ask and we can go from there. Lomas, I didn't know if you had the AZ init or if Arun wanted to show it. Who would like to show that demo?
Go ahead.
go through that a little bit.
Yeah, I could give you a quick.
We still have time. Cool. Yeah. Oh, yes. We have 6 minutes. So
that is great. While we wait for all the questions to come in, so let me give as well as a sneak peek of what our team is working towards exploring. So
Make sure to make that screen full size, if you don't mind.
Oh, that is a good question. I don't know if I can make it full size because this is actually a prototype.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is the interesting part. So we work with our designer to prototype this in providing a better interactive onboarding experience for folks to configure some of their common config settings. So we've heard of azconfig or azconfigure, where it's more of a low-level command where we type in and do individual configs. But this is more of a walkthrough experience that we actually took inspiration from other common CLIs out there, as well as gaining the validations from our end users via user testing. And so this is just an idea that we are thinking about. And again, we would love your feedback on the overall flow. Essentially, we will show us what the default config setup is, and then we will ask you what are some of the ways that you would like to do the configs. So there are a couple options. There is a version that's more human friendly. There's another version that's more machine friendly. And then we could also select the one where it enables us to walk through each individual setup. And so let's say if we select the optimized for human version, then automatically we will do a set of config bundles, quote unquote bundles, what we call on behalf of you. So these are the set of settings that our team believe will provide an optimal experience for you, considering that you will be interacting with the tool most of the time. So that includes, showing all the events in the standard error stream, showing recommendations as part of the error output, showing syntax highlighting, making sure that the output is in table format, and et cetera. And as well as our typical follow-up recommendations on how you can explore. So that was pretty much it. We can also take a look at, let's say, the customized settings, how that works. Essentially is a one-by-one setup of individual, settings. And this includes, again, the output format, where we are streaming, how much of the information we're streaming as part of the error, whether we want error recommendations, et cetera. So you get the idea. This is something that we are thinking of, as well as validating with our users. If there are, again, any feedback or thoughts on this, please do share them our way, and we would love to hear from you. So that is my quick demo of what the future looks like from the UX side. Thank you, Brian, for the time.
Thank you. Thanks, Lomas. Hey, Delora, one other thing I wanted to mention. You showed some examples. Great examples. One of the things that's often overlooked is the fact that the CLI, all the demos we showed today, are interactive. You can use them in the command line and you get a response. The other cool thing about the CLI, of course, is you can include those in your PowerShell scripts, your bash scripts, command line, batch files if you want. You can actually use them and reuse them in a lot of different ways. As a lot of people do. It's amazing how many people run their whole operations on bash. And so being able to integrate the CLI and being able to create a VM in terms of making that happen is also really cool. So we've got about a minute left. I did want to mention as well, for those of you watching at home, if you go to aka.ms/the-launch-space-azure-CLI, that's where you can actually find the show page for today. We'll share links there with all the information, and we'll also have a link to this recording as well. So any links or anything else you saw in there today, aka.ms/the-launch-space-CLI will be the Launch Space Azure CLI is really be able to find that. And I've placed that in the chat as well. So there it is down at the bottom of the screen. So, hey, thanks everyone for coming today. I thought this was great. Does anyone have any final thoughts they want to share? You've got about probably 30 seconds.
Just that we're really, really happy. Thanks for this, Brian. And we would love your feedback, the users who are watching this. That would be super helpful.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for coming. And thanks for joining us today on the Launch Space. Check out the show page for more links. So. thanks everyone for your contributions. Great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.